Well, a Merry Christmas and a good morning to you. And I see faces that I didn't see last night, and many faces I saw last night I don't see this morning. I wonder why. Anyway, Christmas is a special time. Our family, over the years, we've opened our gifts in the evening and stockings in the morning. So when we get home, this, you know, after service, we're going to open our stockings and all of that. But it's great to see you, and I hope your tradition continues and you're with family and friends and enjoy the holiday season. So I have what they call a sermonette this morning, hopefully. And I can recall, of course, when I was a child, we didn't have TV. Novelty. I mean, no cell phones, nothing like that, but we would have Bible stories read to us when we were small, especially during the Christmas time. My mom and dad had storybooks that showed pictures of Jesus and Mary and Joseph and so forth. So we grew up knowing the reason for the season, as the saying is, knowing the reason for Christ coming into this world. I'm just going to talk this morning a little bit about the values of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in this little sermonette that I have for you today. And let's just have a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I just thank you for this time together this morning. Bless each and every family, Lord, that is here. Give them a great remaining holiday season, I pray in Jesus' name. We're thankful, Lord, for our church. We continue to pray for Pastor Jim and his shoulder operation, that he'll recover completely. And be with those, Lord, that aren't feeling well on this holiday, that you'll just restore them and help them in a special way. And we just pray that in Jesus' name. We thank you. Amen. I want you to know Mary is an essential part of the Christmas story, and we recall the account of the announcement to the Virgin Mary, the coming Christ, and this announcement was made to Mary by an angel. And was there anyone else in the world who could have made such an intimate announcement without embarrassing Mary? I stop and think of this young girl, 14 or 15 years of age. You know, she was just coming into womanhood. But never before had a message like this come to a woman, and never again would a woman hear such words. To Mary came the news that the long-expected Messiah was at hand, that Jesus would make his entrance into the world, and that she would be his mother. And it wouldn't happen by the laws of natural birth. So delicately but definitely, the angel makes known to this trembling young woman the plan of God for the birth of his son into the world. And Mary must have caught a glimpse of the glory and wonder of it all. And yet at the same time, she must have sensed the problem, the shame it would bring, and the misunderstanding that would come. How could she tell Joseph that she was having a child by the Holy Spirit? You stop and analyze that for a moment. Oh, by the way, you won't be the father, but by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to have a child. How would he react when she told him this? And what complex problems and questions formulated in her mind, and yet she had an unfaltering faith and complete submission. And when the angel said in Luke 1, verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God," we read in verse 38, Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." Then the angel left her. Now let me take your thoughts over the years and show you Mary at the cross of Calvary. What a picture. A mother watching her son die for the atonement of sin. What a climax to Jesus' life after such a miraculous birth. If Mary was like most Hebrew people, she would be much more familiar with the prophesied glories of Jesus Christ than the prophesied sufferings that would precede these glories. But being so intimately related to Jesus and knowing the realities of his miraculous birth, she must have concerned herself very much with the many things the scriptures foretold about Jesus. So she would know the passage where God spoke to the serpent, who was the devil, in Genesis 3, verse 15. And it says, "From now on, you and the woman will be enemies, and her offspring will be enemies." He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Jesus would have victory over the enemy of our soul, the devil. Now, Luke in his gospel tells us of Simeon. Mary brought her baby to the temple and saw this godly old man. And this Simeon, he took the baby in his arms and heard him say in Luke 2, verse 29 through 32, these words, "Lord, I'm your servant, and now I can die in peace, because you have kept your promise to me. With my own eyes I have seen what you have done to save your people, and foreign nations will also see this. Your mighty power is a light for all nations, and it will bring honor to your people Israel." And then in Luke, the second chapter, verse 34 and 35, he said, "Then he blessed them and told Mary, 'This child of yours will cause many people in Israel to fall and others to stand. The child will be like a warning sign. Many people will reject him, and you, Mary, will suffer as though you had been stabbed by a dagger.' But all of this will show what people are really thinking." In the Amplified Version here says, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul." Now, what did all of this mean? Now, Mary carried and pondered these words over the years, over 30 years. And now here at Golgotha, outside the city wall, watching the sordid scene of crucifixion, she discovered their meaning. And as she stood by the cross of Jesus, no one can really possibly understand the pain and anguish of Mary's soul as she helplessly watched them nail Jesus to the cross. Can you imagine watching your own child suffer, being beaten, and nails pierced through his hands and his legs? Can you imagine that? Such agony may be felt and experienced, but it can never be described. As Simeon said to her years ago, "A sword shall pierce your own soul." It'll be just like being stabbed by a dagger. And Mary felt it. She felt those nails as they were pounded into Jesus' flesh and the blood flowing down his face, and the indescribable dense darkness when she heard Jesus cry from his parched lips, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So the sorrowing mother Mary drank this bitter cup of suffering as she watched her son die upon the cross. And I'm sure that when that great day dawns and the shadows flee away, there'll be a well done for Mary, who suffered so much, who sacrificed so much, who endured so much for Jesus' sake. Surely in all the joys of heaven, there will be a special joy in the heart of Mary. And so during this Christmas season, we remember Mary, the mother of our Lord, and we learn great lessons of value from her life. I'm briefly going to just share these. Number one, the value of submission to the will of God, as shown by her when she said in Luke 1, verse 38, I'll read this again in the Message, "Yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." And if God spoke to you from his word, would you have that kind of submission and willingness to obey what God tells you in your heart? Think of this. And then secondly, the example of faith is shown by her confidence in Jesus was sufficient to meet every need at the marriage of Cana. And she said in John 2, verse 5, "Whatever he says, do it." She knew he was the Christ. And then three, the cost of obedience, as seen in the anxiety and the grief that came to her heart for a brief time. She thought she lost Jesus, and so did Joseph. But she said in Luke 2, verse 48, "His parents don't know what to think. 'Son,' his mother said to him, 'why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic and searching for you everywhere.'" Now, see, she knew that he was the Son of God. And she was thinking, well, something might have happened to him, something, you know, horrible. Here he was, the Christ, and all the prophecies telling about him being the Messiah. "Where are you, Jesus?" Well, she didn't understand that he was about the Father's business. So, but she was obedient all through that. Number four, the depth of love's devotion, as demonstrated by the sacrifice and suffering with Jesus in his earthly life, even on the death of the cross. She was with Jesus all the way. And what a lesson of great value that we stay with Jesus all the way through. Number five, the example of discipleship as portrayed in her waiting for the promise of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Lessons of great value, talking about submission, talking about faith, obedience, love's devotion, discipleship. Mary is a great example as we are here on this Christmas day of what our life should be like. So we remember Mary, but at this Christmas time, we look to Jesus, God's gift to us. And I want you to realize, excuse me, the victory is ours through Jesus Christ. No matter what we face today. And I look at Jesus, and I love to read the Gospels and all the miracles he performed and the love for children and people and the compassion that he had for mankind, the teaching, all of these great things that we see in the Bible. But yet, we also see he was a mighty master, and he went into the temple, overthrew the tables of money changers, drove them out of the place. You know, we need to remember Jesus as a baby, but we remember also him as the grown man that gave his life. And the Bible tells us he became the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Revelations 5:5 says, "Stop weeping, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory." So at this Christmas time, think of Jesus as a Lion of Judah who can conquer every enemy of mankind. And if there are chains that are binding your life, he can break them. Amen? He can break anything that comes across your life that you know is not right for you and God is speaking to your heart about. Listen to Romans 6, verse 18 in the Message. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. And so when we sing Christmas carols, when we sing joy to the world, let it be with a consciousness that the Lion of Judah can break every fetter and set you free, and I don't care what it is. Many Christian lives today, and I've seen in the past, are like a ball and chain that kind of holds them back from reaching spiritual maturity, and they desperately want to rise above the habits, the addictions, the dysfunctional lifestyles, and come out of the bondage of the past sins, and they long to get free of the burden of guilt, but like Paul, they cry, "Who will deliver me?" The answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's the one that can set you free, and he's the one that has set men and women and young people free and given them a brand new life and a brand new outlook on life, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So don't let guilt spoil your Christmas. Don't remain chained to patterns of thought and action that keep you from really being free. Jesus can break these chains. And he can break bad habits and addictions and sin or sickness. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah will prevail over any enemy that comes your way. Listen to Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5. "But he endured the suffering that should have been ours, the pain that we should have borne. And all the while we thought that his suffering was punishment sent by God. But because of our sins he was wounded, beaten because of the evil we did. We are healed by the punishment he suffered, made whole by the blows he received." So we know our Lord can heal, he can comfort us in our suffering, and if we sin, we have this wonderful promise in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. It's a short verse, but I love it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, "How we thank God who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord." And we know when we've confessed our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we know when we come and recognize him as Lord and Savior and believe in Jesus Christ that he rose and died, he died and rose again victorious over death, hell, and grave, we have eternal life forever and ever. And so I want us to repeat this verse. Would you please repeat this after me? How I thank God, who gives me victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ, my Lord. So take that scripture, memorize it, make it a part of your life. Baby Jesus grew to manhood. He died for us on Calvary. And he now lives in heaven with power to break every chain. And this Christmas can be a time of spiritual and physical deliverance if you'll just put your trust in God. I still recall when I committed my life to Jesus Christ at the age of 7. We were having Bible study in our home in Montana out of Columbia Falls. And we lived by Tea Kettle Mountain close to Hungry Horse Dam, where it is now. And I remember Mom and Dad talking about it had to be a personal relationship, that I couldn't make it to heaven on their strings. I had to personally accept him. And so while we were praying, I asked Jesus to come into my life, forgive me my sin. Because the Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God, right? We're born into sin. But I just felt anew at that time. Sure, over the years I had problems and things that I had to ask God forgiveness, and I still do. But the thing is, we know we're born again, we're on our way to heaven because of one young woman that was obedient. One young woman that was submissive, and she said, yes, I will be, in essence, paraphrasing, the mother of Jesus. Angel, you have said it. I see you say nothing's impossible with God. I accept it. And she became the mother of our Savior. What an example that we have. And we can submit to God now. We can be obedient to him. We can have faith and trust in him. No matter what we face in 2017, we have a Lord that is there for us. For our family. So I encourage you, if you don't have family devotions, if you don't have a time of prayer with your family or your spouse, if you're alone, please do. Take time to pray together. Encourage one another in the Lord. It's of great value, just like Mary gave us lessons of great value. There's a poem that goes, "The look on children's faces on this special day, the bustle of people rushing to and fro, come what may, the lights, the presents, and greetings of people we love. Let's not forget to open our homes and hearts to the Holy One from above. Many things represent Christmas to each and every one. Let me try to put in words what it means for me to know Christ's Son. A special day long, long ago, a dear precious one was born in a place that was built for animals, but Mary and Joseph weren't forlorn. A star shone above this special place to proclaim to the world that the king was born for human race. So tiny and so small upon the manger he lay. But when he grew up, oh, what a price he did pay. Oh, what love he gave to you and me. And with everything that's going on in the world today, let's not forget the true meaning of Christmas, which is love. I just hope that you can give a portion of love God's way. And what brought about the salvation for you and me? It started from a young, obedient girl named Mary, who gave birth to our Lord and Savior Jesus, God's dear Son, who died on the cross and rose again. And through him, victory was won. Amen. I stop and think back 50 years ago on Christmas Day. My wife, Donella, was expecting her first child. And it was early in the morning, and to make a long story short, she said, it's time. And we were pastoring out in Harlan, Chapel of the Valley, between Corvallis and Newport. I don't know, some of you may know where that is in Oregon. And so it was about 30-some miles to Corvallis to the hospital. And so we hurried and got things around, and her dad went with us. Yeah, he was more nervous than I was. I mean, he was nervous. Right? Okay, we gotta make sure. There's a lot of winding corners and so forth. But I made my mind I was gonna be safe. But I drove nice, you know, pretty fast. Anyway, we went to the hospital, and then the next morning, a number of hours later, here came my first child. 50 years ago, was born, Valden Lee Hunt. And that's special, still special today. And, of course, he's coming over. We've always treated him special and got him a special gift, no matter what age, on Christmas, to make it special. And we always set aside a time on Christmas Day for him to have that time to open a gift and sing happy birthday and all of that. You know, not everybody's privileged to have a child born on Christmas Day, but I think I was just thinking back how special that was to us. But can you imagine Mary and Joseph seeing that new little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger, and how joyful they were? And of course, the magnificence of it all with the angels and all the shepherd boys coming and all the things that took place. It was special. But you know what? This Christmas can be special to you. Make memories together with your family. And I just want all of you to have a joyous time because of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray your blessing as we go our separate ways. Keep them safe, each and every one, as they travel home. And may we have special memories that we cherish. Because most of all, we're not alone. We have you, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit that goes with us every step of the way. And you're there to free us, to help us, to heal us, restore us. And we give you the glory and the praise for it. And we pray for families that are right here now that have unsaved children that they're thinking about. Once were little babies, but now they're not serving God. And I think of grandkids that are not serving you right now. We claim them for you, Jesus. We pray for every family. Lord, we know your Holy Spirit is seeking out those who are lost. Bring them to you, Lord. And I've seen that happen many times in my ministry. The miraculous salvation that had come to somebody that said they didn't believe in Jesus. But now they're saved and on their way to heaven. May that be so with those that are being thought about by families right now in this congregation. I pray in Jesus' name. Your blessing now we dismiss with your grace and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish you all a very Merry Christmas. God bless you. You're dismissed.